This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
That was Aaron Rodgers earlier today. Before the Steelers practiced, I think he had his meeting with the media and opined that preseason football is not real football. It's the PM team. Not totally the real PM team. Pony's out today. He's at Idlewild. Donnie is still here. Intern Jack is here. Jack will take his position behind the bench for the first ever Judge Donnie featuring Judge Jack at 5:30, which is going to be an electric factory, I would say. So I found that interesting from Rodgers. You know who probably loved that comment was every NFL owner. People who are trying to push through an 18-game season with two preseason games, probably something approaching eventually a 20-game NFL season with two bye weeks, no preseason games, and boom, you just go into week one, and it's like college football. You're out there, you're playing, it counts. That's why so many teams like to schedule the directional Michigans, the FCS opponents, the Delawares, Youngstown States of the world. Probably a bad example. That last one, Paul Chryst lost to Youngstown State when he was at Pitt. I can hear a guy named Fred texting me right now, disgusted that I would bring up such a bad memory. I thought that that was interesting from Rodgers, not just because it ultimately, indirectly, and I don't think intentionally, sort of sides with the league on something and pushes the NFL towards a 20-game season, or at least an 18-game season, but because I would at least think that it flies in the face of what coaches feel about it, of what his own head coach feels about it. By the way, little nugget in that clip when he said the plan right now, I think, isn't for me to play in this game, but whatever Mike wants to do, I'll do. I would pretty much take it to the bank. That means that Rodgers is not playing. There's not much effort at obfuscation here in terms of roster decisions. Rodgers even said it. There's not really an attempt to hide what you're doing from a play-calling perspective. That's why he doesn't get a ton out of it. Liam Cohen and Mike Tomlin are going to be talking. In fact, Cohen said they're already talking and texting about this game. You'll remember Dan Campbell made some waves when, what was the snafu, Donnie, if you remember off the top of your head? Campbell, like, kept his guys going too hard in a preseason game, kept starters in too long. He rankled Tomlin, I thought, with the way he handled a Steelers-Lions preseason game a couple of years back.
I don't remember a snafu.
I remember there being some sort of like weird, I don't know if there was beef. I think Tomlin probably respected that he was up there against a like psycho football guy. Dan Campbell did something in that game that I cannot recall what it was, but I remember kind of arching an eyebrow. Anyway, point is coaches talk about this stuff, which is Rodgers' whole point. He says this, you're not simulating stuff truly that you're going to see in the game. Coach might call another coach and say, we need to give you some pressure today. Hopefully you guys can do that. Sometimes coaches will say, we're not going to pressure you. So it is closer to like simulated football. There are guys trying to win jobs, but for the people like Aaron Rodgers who are 20-year NFL veterans and who know exactly where their standing is in the pecking order, it doesn't do a whole hell of a lot. I put out a question on Twitter. I just said, what are our thoughts on this Aaron Rodgers take on preseason football? And Donnie, the ball knowers just lined up to tell me, well, duh, everybody knows that. None of these guys like the preseason. Can't believe you're asking our thoughts on an objectively true statement. you as a fan not liking preseason football, because if you're a season ticket holder, you still have to pay for those tickets and the games don't mean anything and are of much lower quality, you not liking it is different from it not having any utility, which is what I think is the real genesis of what Rodgers is saying. He's saying it doesn't matter to him, or he's saying it doesn't have a lot of use for him. I would think that if you asked Mike Tomlin, that he would be much more likely to say, no, I need to see how guys react. Tomlin is the man who likes to say, I've got to get him in a stadium situation. In fact, a lot of these players, I think, will tell you in training camp, if so-and-so's having a good camp before the first preseason game, they'll say, yeah, he's got to do it when we actually put the pads on and go out there and play in a game situation, even if it's the preseason. But they all kind of hold that qualifier back.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter to a guy camp, who's been playing for 20 years like Rodgers.
For TJ Watt, it doesn't matter. But, like, he'll be a guy who I think would say, yeah, he's got to go out. And if he's asked about a young player, he's got to go out and show it in a game. Even an exhibition game, it matters more than just going out in a practice and having a really good practice. Even in a joint practice, I would say it matters more. That's why I think most coaches actually are closer to Mike Tomlin. Maybe there's some guys who aren't. Maybe some of the Shanahans of the world don't think they need it, but you still are trying to play a game full throttle against other players who know that if they don't show out in these games, they might be working at Home Depot, Don. I guess I reject out of hand. I think I separate not liking the preseason and thinking the preseason is worthless are two very different things. I agree with the first one. I don't think I agree with the second one. So I guess that makes me a non-ball knower.
I mean, ask any down-the-liner or look at some of the down-the-liners that have come through Pittsburgh or really the NFL at large over the last handful of years. Like, those are the guys that it's meaningful for.
Well, like, does Connor Hayward think that this is a meaningless preseason?
Well, he shouldn't.
That's what I'm saying here. That's a guy, you've heard his name. He's what, caught a touchdown in the NFL? He's made a couple of plays in the NFL? Like, I would think it matters to him. I feel like this is a classic Pompeiani, and I should say it in his voice. Rock Taylor, does it mean nothing to him? Would he rather have a joint practice to impress Mike Tomlin? Like, those guys... What do you have every year that generally get determined by the preseason? At least two or three roster spots, probably, out of 53?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it comes down to, like, guy 51, 52, 53 for most teams.
There's a camp battle right now for punting. You don't think that that's going to be determined, basically, by how these guys punt during the preseason games themselves? I think it will be. And before, lest anyone say punters are not that important, how many times, if you say that out loud, have you bitched and moaned about how bad a Steelers team was at punting the football and the kind of field position advantage they gave away? Just, I don't know. It was met with, when I just asked people for their thoughts, it was met with a wave of, come on, man, like, condescending, how could you possibly think that anyone cares about this? This just doesn't matter. And I would reject that. I think it matters a lot. I just think that there's a big gulf between how much it matters to the coaches and to the down-the-line players, and how much do fans actually like watching it. And even as I say that out loud, Don, what will you be doing Friday night? I know it's not the Steelers game, but I heard you talk about this. What will you and probably a lot of people be doing Friday night in this town? And
well, I would like
town?
To catch a drive or two of Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland.
Because there's a curiosity factor, is there not?
Yeah, without question.
Because no matter how many good passes he throws in practice that they show him hitting a guy in stride or... for, you know, on a perfect timing route, it doesn't mean jack squat until he goes out and does it in a game. And I assure you, if Shedeur Sanders goes like 8 for 10 for 95 yards or 105 yards in three series of action and throws a touchdown and doesn't throw a pick, you don't think people in Cleveland and around the NFL are going to be suddenly at a fever pitch about whether this guy should be, at worst, the backup? That's exactly what's going to happen if he has a good game. Like, I'm sorry, you can have a guy play in joint practices all you want. Somebody in his shoes, the only way he's going to get on his coach's radar is if he actually balls out in a preseason game.
Oh, and I think Cleveland is the perfect example because they're currently going through like a quarterback derby. Like, people really don't know who's going to come out on top. Maybe Joe Flacco, maybe Kenny Pickett, but what if it is one of the rookies that looks best?
I agree. What if Dylan Gabriel, the complete, like... you know, the total forgotten man in this entire situation. What if Dylan Gabriel gets a quarter and a half and looks great? I'm not saying I think that'll happen. It's a Browns quarterback, so it probably won't. But what if? I mean, at the risk of doing the old cliche, that's why they play the games, you would think, even the preseason ones. 412-928-9370. That's the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Aaron Rodgers, he says the preseason, it's not real football. Doesn't have a lot of benefits for him. Do you agree? 412-928-9370. Coming up, you'll hear what Rodgers thinks does have a lot of benefit, is better than preseason football, does do a better job of getting players more ready for the season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you welcome to the club.
I've got the Little League World Series on one TV and the Pirates on the other. You know, it's a hell of an invention at first base that wasn't around when I was a kid. The extended base that's like orange that the kids are supposed to run through so you don't have these poor kids just like stomping on each other's ankles. Didn't have that when I was playing. They also had all these nice fancy fields have the bases that go into the ground. You know, if you're listening to this show and you're of a certain age, you had those bases that were just put down where they were supposed to be and kicked right off that spot. Like, you'd have that little spot in the dirt. I didn't play with bases that actually went into the ground at every spot until I was probably in my, like, in Pony League, I think. We were kicking bases that were just, you know, basically loose sacks that were just sitting there on the field in hopefully the right spot. Just an amazing, amazing glow up for Little League Baseball here. By the way, follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. You can also join our YouTube chat. We live stream the show on YouTube every day. It's very cool. You can actually watch us do the show. I always tell people if somebody says something like a caller that because of FCC rules we get dumped, if they say a discouraging word and you're always curious about what they're saying, if you're watching it on YouTube, my understanding is you'll actually hear that stuff because that is not governed by the FCC. So there's another thing rolling in your favor. Plus, you can join the YouTube chat, which is completely unhinged, today being no exception. This is what Aaron Rodgers had to say about, you heard him say, preseason football, wouldn't call it great. Here's what he thinks about joint practices, however.
Yes, I believe so, for the first team.
Because
teams are, especially most of the joint practices, I would say, you're not going to play that team in the regular season. So they're less worried about showing things that they want to work on. And even though there usually are cameras there and it's filmed, they're less skittish about running the stuff they've been running all camp that they're going to try and do in the regular season against another team that you're not going to play in the regular season. So I found those beneficial. As long as there's not a lot of fights, I think they're a good work day for the first team.
All right, so that's Rodgers saying he thinks those joint practices, if they're well run and, you know, there's not the usual, what was it, Aaron Donald fighting the entire Bengals team, I believe, at one point. As long as it's well run, he thinks the joint practices for the first team better than preseason games because people are willing to show a little bit more. What say you, 412-928-9370? Do you think preseason football is not pointless, but do you think that it is not much in the way of utility for these teams? Like Rodgers does. He says joint practices, those would be better for me and the rest of the first team guys. I know you might not like the preseason. That's a different question. I know we all, quote-unquote, hate it, except everyone was so gassed up to watch Will Howard before he got hurt. But do they still have use for NFL teams? 412-928-9370. Caden is in Pittsburgh. Hi, Caden.
Hey, how you doing? So, am I answering your question, or can I ask a real important question or tell you something that's important?
I mean, now that you've started down this road, I guess we have to go down this road.
All right, sweet. So I'm really hot take on the Steelers, even though I'm from Pittsburgh. So I don't think we should have re-signed TJ. I feel like we should have traded him for a good trade. Would you agree?
Yes, Caden. If you are a regular listener to this show, you know that Pony and I both thought it was a viable thing to look into as early as, I think, in my case, maybe not 2023, but definitely before last season, I said they should have absolutely looked into trading him.
Yeah, man. Like, I feel like the older he gets, more injury-prone he is, and he's just going to downfall every year from then.
Thank you, Caden. All right. Greg in McKees Rocks. What's up, Greg?
Yeah, I still, the preseason games are still relevant because that's your bottom end of your roster you're building. Plus, it gives all the young players a chance to catch on somewhere else where more eyes are catching them versus, you know, a scrimmage.
Do you still get into watching them as much, even though you know the quality of football is just not going to be as good? Do you still get pretty gassed up to watch them? Because I understand if a lot of people don't really like watching them because it's just meaningless.
I mean, I tune in for, you know, the rookies and seeing what the product's coming out to be. I won't watch the whole game, most likely. Like, I'll flash and watch players.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Here's the other thing. People always, I say this too, but it's usually only applicable to starters. Oh, if so-and-so gets hurt, you're going to be sick to your stomach if it happened in a preseason game. If they ran a joint practice and a guy got rolled up on because they were having an intense, like, you know, actual hitting practice with another team, you'd say, that's even worse. It's practice. Not a game. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Let's go to Zach on the fan. Hey, Zach.
Hey, big fan.
Thank you, Zach. What do you got?
I absolutely think that it's necessary to have these preseason games for the simple fact that it's an entertainment product. Everybody needs to rehearse. You know, there's artists. They need to rehearse before they go on stage. It's the same thing that these players are doing. I know it's painful, but if they don't do it, soft tissue injuries everywhere, false starts, six men on the line, it's every day. The referees are bad. It's all necessary to make the product polished, right?
I would actually agree with that. I think your way of framing it is sort of interesting, and I think some of the soft tissue stuff still happens because they don't have as robust of an off-season program. Zach, though, since you seem to take a different approach and refer to football as an entertainment product, you got my attention. That's a good call. Stay on the line, Zach, because guess what, pal? You just won two tickets to see Linkin Park at PPG Paints Arena on August 19th. Zach, stay on the line. Jack or Donnie is going to be the next voice you hear getting your information for those Linkin Park tickets that you just won, big guy. Good job. Good effort. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The hotline is where we find Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. He's brought to you by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich and Geist. Mike, start you off thusly. Aaron Rodgers, not making like big headlines or anything, but he sounded off on the nature of the preseason and how he does not get a lot out of preseason games because of various things, the vanilla coverages, the schemes, the fact that, you know, teams sometimes have agreements between the coaches. Hey, I don't want my team to face pressure. Hey, I need to dial up some pressure to see how my guys do. He gets more out of it, says Rodgers, the first team at least, when they have these joint practices that are kind of organized. How do you feel about preseason ball versus these joint practice sessions?
Well, look, you don't want the quarterback to be facing live action if you can avoid it. You don't want it to be open season on the quarterback. You don't want them taking any hits that are avoidable. So the joint practices do make more sense because you can control it a little bit better. I still think there's value when you're with a new team and you showed up late and you're already a little rusty. There's value in going through the motions of getting ready for a game, even if you don't play more than a drive. There's just something to be said for getting that process under control. There's no way to simulate that than going to a preseason game as if you're going to dress, if you're going to play, if you're going to warm up, just all of that. Now, for a guy that's been doing it for 20 years, it's probably no big deal. But there is a tiny little bit of value from the standpoint of just going through the motions and getting ready for a game.
Will that inherent value, in your opinion, what you just described, prevent the NFL from ever completely eliminating the preseason and having like a 20-game regular season with a pair of bye weeks?
No, they would get rid of the preseason if they could, and they would go to 20 games right now if they could. They'd love to trade meaningless games for meaningful games and increase the inventory that can be sold to any and all networks that want to broadcast the games. And the logic has been consistent. Used to be 14-6, then it went to 16-4, now it's 17-3. Hey, let's do 18-2. Oh, how about 19-1? Let's just go all the way to 20-0. I think that if they could get the players to agree to it, they would do it right now and go to 20 games and forget about the preseason.
When you talk to coaches around the league, do they share your opinion, though, that there's still something you can't replicate by just going out and getting ready for a game? Or are there even some of these like newer school people around the league, or not even coaches necessarily, but just people within organizations who have started to see it and not feel like there's a ton of value returned for it?
Well, you know, look at how the different teams view playing starters in the preseason games. It's not universal that starters mm-hmm. don't play. For plenty of teams it is, but for plenty of other teams, we are going to see the starters out there. There's value in those live reps. There's a reason to assume the risk that somebody's going to get injured in a preseason game. So I think the opinions are kind of all over the place because it's all about getting your team ready for week one. Mm-hmm. And one thing we've learned post-2011 when the rules changed about the intensity of practices, the number of opportunities to get your team ready, that first month of the season is kind of like preseason, but it counts. And it takes until September ends, early October, to really get to where you want to be. So yeah, I think for every team it's different, every coach it's different. Every year, in theory, it's different, but you want to be ready to go when week one rolls around and the preseason games give you a chance to get a team ready to go.
One of our enterprising listeners who also happens to be a lawyer, Mike, so like you, a keen legal mind thinking about this preseason situation, said, just put a chunk of ESPN money up for grabs and make it a 32-team tournament in the preseason, but you can only play your starters two series total in each game. And he thought you'd have must-see TV for the league, turning the preseason into a special event just like the NBA in-season tournament.
You know, I made the argument at some point within the last 10 years when people were complaining about the preseason being meaningless. I said, make preseason record the last tiebreaker before flipping a coin.
Oh, God.
And people lost their minds.
The Baltimore Ravens like, would have never lost a tiebreaker.
Don't complain about it being meaningless.
The Ravens
and they lost
Harbaugh.
Their minds about it being the last tiebreaker before flipping a coin after like 12 other tiebreakers.
That would be, I would actually love that. I think that's a very good, subtle little way to sneak that in there. All right, you know I love talking, Mike, when we have a chance about any business of football stuff, and I love that we have you on and your ability to explain in plain terms like what some of these complex-sounding deals mean for the end user, the consumer here that listens to this show. So this ESPN deal with the NFL that does have to go through all the regulatory approvals and everything else, what's the upshot for the consumer here? How is this going to affect materially their NFL viewing experience now that the league will apparently have a 10% stake in ESPN and all this, and ESPN will have licensing agreements with league products, etc.?
It all remains to be determined. On the way in, they're going to say all the right things. This is great for the fans. This is awesome for our fans. This provides this for our fans, that for our fans, whatever. Let's see how it plays out. People are concerned that red zone's going to change. They say red zone's not going to change. We'll see. Maybe the changes are more subtle. I mean, anytime you introduce another party into managing an asset and making decision about the asset, there is a chance that changes are going to be made. What's NFL Network going to look like? Will NFL Network have its own draft coverage, or will it just be a simulcast of what's on ABC and or ESPN? Or will it be dipping around from play? Who knows? Who knows? There's just a lot of things that are to be determined in this. And for the NFL, you know, they realize, I think, at a certain level, they are not good at being a media company. NFL Network has never been what they envisioned it to be. They had issues from the get-go, getting it on the cable platforms they wanted on. They started Thursday Night Football as a way to boost NFL Network. 2006, a package of games, the back half of the season. That's where it all came from, to help NFL Network. NFL Network was never what they wanted it to be, and I don't know if ESPN is going to turn it into that. It's a staple of the direct-to-consumer offering that ESPN's coming out with in a couple of weeks, and we'll just see. We'll see. But they're not doing it for us. They're doing it for themselves. They're doing it to make more money, and they think there's a way to do it. And also, the NFL comes out of it with a 10% stake in a broadcast partner, which kind of changes the feel of everything. And it makes me wonder, are they going to try to get a stake in other broadcast partners as well as they go forward and do more and more of these deals?
I read one of the write-ups. I think it was Dan Shanoff at The Athletic was just doing an updated explainer on this. And man, one of the quotes, Mike, that came out about like monetization across platforms, like, I know what all those words mean. I've seen words like that a lot. And it just made me glaze over thinking about, you know, the viewer here who's going to get soaked for more money to make sure they can keep watching every NFL game. The other thing you just said, that 10% stake, and I think you tweeted this, so I'm cribbing this from you, but I just wanted to put it out there. I grapple often with how much our listeners on this radio show right now care about the backroom stuff and how the sausage is made and how coverage is done and whether the coverage is kind of neutral and down the line. And a 10% stake in ESPN for the NFL would seem to, as you put it, call into question at least healthy skepticism any reporting that ESPN does on the league, because the league now has a partial ownership stake in its broadcast partner.
You're right. This is something I've been saying since NFL Network launched in 2003. The reporters who work there, the analysts who work there, everybody on the air is employed by the league. Paychecks literally signed by Roger Goodell, and people don't care. Well, when there's a story that requires fair, objective, aggressive scrutiny, criticism, whatever, there are certain limits as a practical matter. So it's one thing when the NFL owns 100%. What's going to happen when the NFL owns 10% of ESPN? What kind of stories will we hear about limits on what you can and can't say? Albert Breer, who worked for NFL Network at one point, he told the story that at one point it just became frowned upon to cover certain things. And we'll see if there's a firewall between editorial and business, but I think it's a real concern. And also, hey, there's going to be some tiptoeing on eggshells while they wait for the federal government to approve this thing from a regulatory standpoint. And it'll be interesting to see how that manifests itself in the dynamics between the NFL and the White House. We've seen a lot of tiptoeing on eggshells there. I think we're going to see more of it over the next year and a half.
One more on this, the business side of this, Mike. And ESPN purchased the rights to the name Red Zone here, which I think is important in this way. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that would allow ESPN to do Red Zone style stuff and Red Zone branded stuff for sports other than the NFL. Is that correct? Like, we could see college football Red Zone come out of this.
That was something the commissioner said today when the question came up, is Red Zone going to change for the viewer? No, it's not going to change. By the way, they can call other things Red Zone. They bought the name. They can have a college football Red Zone. So bright, shiny object gets dangled to distract from the possibility that ESPN is going to change Red Zone. There could be a college football Red Zone. There could be an NBA Red Zone. They could have a Red Zone in any other sport that they want. They can call it Red Zone. They own the right to use that term now. That's part of what the NFL got equity for. And whatever ESPN does with it, the NFL benefits by virtue of 10% ownership of ESPN.
Hey, Mike, before I let you go, just two quick ones. Any chance in your mind that Micah Parsons is not playing for the Dallas Cowboys in week one, or that Terry McLaurin is not playing for the Commanders in week one?
I think it's far more likely, although the chances of both are small, that Micah Parsons wouldn't be playing for the Cowboys. But I don't see a path to that. I think the real question is, will Micah Parsons be healthy enough, air quotes, healthy enough to play if they don't give him the offer he wants on a long-term deal and his only option is to play out his fifth year of his contract at $24 million? And I know $24 million is a lot of money, objectively, but it's still $17 million short of the top of the market. So you go out there for one more year, you take the risk, you're going to have an injury that keeps you from ever getting a market-level payday. Will he play if the Cowboys basically say, hey, you're under contract? And listen to the things Jerry Jones says. He will mention from time to time, as we talk about a new contract for Micah, he's already under contract, meaning we have the right to expect him to show up and work for $24 million this year, and we have no obligation to give him a new deal. So I think that's the pressure point. If they call his bluff, will he not play football and cite a back injury, or will he show up and play even though he badly is in line for that new deal?
The outstanding Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Mike, we appreciate it. I'll be waiting for the next expose on the NFLPA's dysfunction behind the scenes.
All right, we're working on it. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.